Hey, this is Daniel Tardy with the Entree Leadership Team. Thanks so much for listening to Dave Ramsey's Entree Leadership Podcast. Hey, did you know that the lessons taught by Dave on this show are a part of our Entree Leadership Master Series event? If you want to hear the entire Entree Leadership curriculum, join Dave at our next Master Series event happening at Disney Swan and Dolphin Resort in Orlando, Florida, October 14th through the 20th. These tickets are selling fast and we only take 200 people. So visit DaveRamsey.com/EntreeLeadership or give us a call at 888-227-3223 to sign up today.
Welcome to Dave Ramsey's Entree Leadership Podcast. This is a place to learn what Dave Ramsey and his team teach about leadership in business. Who am I? My name is Chris Licurdo, and I am your host for the Entree Leadership Podcast. Last week, we celebrated 1 million downloads. Folks, 1 million in less than a year. The biggest podcast on leadership on the planet. Why? Because of you. Because of you guys. So we cannot thank you enough. We had Dave come on in the studio, answer some questions that we took from you guys from all over the place. And so that was a great podcast. We got a lot of great responses from that. On today's show, we will hear Dave teach about time management. We will also have a special interview with Peter Bregman, author of the book 18 Minutes, Find Your Focus, Master Distractions, and Get the Right Things Done. Now, I'm going to tell you around here, for us, this time management thing is an integrity issue. Why? Because you are doing work that matters. So you need to be paying attention to where your time is going. Your team needs to be paying attention to where their time is going. Why? Because they're getting paid for it. If you have team members that are sitting around and not getting things done or doing things halfway, then they're stealing. Yes, stealing. So for us, we look at time management as not just important, not just as a smart thing to do, but we look at it as, well, it has to do with integrity. So here is Dave Ramsey on time management.
This is a second lesson that I not only want as a tune-up for you, but it's also for you to take back to your team and make sure they're doing. How many of you have some people on your team that you wish were more productive? Everybody in the room raises their hand that has a team member. We all. And how many of you wish personally we could be more productive? We all do. We're pretty dad-blame productive. You're probably not in this room if you're not pretty productive. I mean, this is a high-end event. You're taking an entire week to plug into this. You know, you're probably not here if you don't have a pretty high level of productivity. So you can probably give yourself a pretty good A on that, maybe an A minus, maybe a B, but there's not any F players in here. You couldn't afford to be in here. But you may have some on your team. And so you may need to sit down and teach them rather than just constantly be ticked at them. And because for people like you and me, people who goof off when we're paying them, we call those thieves. You know, here's an idea. While you're at work, you're supposed to freaking work. I know that sounds wacky, but that's my expectation. I know it may be old school. It may not be all touchy-feely, but, you know, when I'm paying you and you're sitting on your butt checking your Facebook account, that's called being a thief.
Well, I needed some time to unwind.
You can do that when you get home, about midnight. Seriously. I'm sorry. I don't want to walk by your desk. You're supposed to be making sales calls, and you're updating your personal eBay store. I got problems with that. Can you tell that might have happened? Do you sense that those are real stories? And I wish I could tell you that it was 10 years ago and it never happens. But Facebook wasn't a problem 10 years ago, you know? It wasn't. And so I've got the opportunity. I can either completely shut all that stuff off and, you know, so put you in the salt mines, or I can treat you with dignity like an adult that's supposed to be accomplishing some goals and allow access to YouTube so you can watch a funny video with your friend who just emailed you while he was supposed to be working at his place, right? And all this kind of stuff. So this is the stuff we've got to teach, and we've got to plug it into people that this is an integrity thing. It's an integrity thing. Working, do your work as unto God. Do your work as if it matters. Plug into this. Now, that's not to say you can't stop and enjoy a joke or something during the day. It's not to say you can't stop and get a cup of coffee. I mean, we do that too. But this idea that you know, 40% of your day is shot with that stuff is very real in the marketplace today. It's very real. And it's a problem. So this productivity thing is at its core an integrity issue for me. As I was teaching this lesson, I've got a young man on our team who's got a PhD in divinity. He's got like 6 degrees. He's kind of like a thermometer. He collects them. But one of his degrees is in divinity. And he said, did you know where time management came from? Did you know where seconds and minutes came from? And I went, no. He said, 12th century monks who were mathematicians. Okay, enlighten me. Now you got me. Now a bit. What's up? He said, well, prior to the 12th century, time was kept in hours only, like sundials, etc., right? And at that point, the math had advanced, and the monks, in order to more precisely worship God, calculated that within an hour there were 60 minutes, and within a minute there were 60 seconds. And they broke it down, and that's where the actual breakdown came from. So it's a spiritual thing. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise, redeeming the time. We can spend time doing ridiculous things to avoid facing the things outside of our comfort zone. We have all had this experience, probably not as much lately in my life, because my days are scheduled by the minute almost these days, and most of you don't have this, but we've all had this experience at some point in our entrepreneurial, small business, large business mindset. See if you can follow me on this. You come to work, and you work your tail off all day long. I mean, you are running and going. You don't let your finger off the button. You don't let your foot off the gas all day long, and it seems like you're chasing your tail, and there's one thing to another thing to another thing to another thing, and you get home at the end of the day, and you just kind of lay on the couch, and you go, ugh. And your spouse walks in and goes, what'd you do today? I have no freaking idea. We've all had that sense, haven't we? Have no idea what happened. And all that means is we're not managing off our values, we're managing off our crises. And so we've got to lead ourselves, not from crisis to crisis. You're not a fireman. Well, one of you is, but he actually has a full-time job as a fireman and has a small business as well here. But the rest of you are not firemen. Okay, so if all you do is put out fires all day long, you know you need to change jobs. You need to go get a fire. You know, get you a hat, ride the ladder truck. Because I did that for a long time. The business managed me, and it changed our productivity. It changed our profitability the instant I went around on the other side of it, and I said no more. And by the way, my stress level went down when the drama wasn't running me, and instead I was the director of the drama. If there's going to be drama, at least I'm going to direct it. At least we're going to control it and move it around, and it's going to fall into these things. We spend ridiculous things avoiding, doing ridiculous amounts of energy avoiding the stuff we need to do just because it's outside of our comfort zone.
I can tell you when I teach that lesson, I will actually have people, when I talk about spending time doing ridiculous things to avoid the things outside of our comfort zone, I'll have people raise their hand. Every hand in the room goes up. How many people have done this? Every single person. You're not alone. We all have those moments. We all have those times where it is difficult to get focused. It is difficult to stay focused. Sometimes some things that are outside of your comfort zone, gosh, you just don't even want to mess with it. But here's the deal. When you don't get it done, what happens? Something else that's outside of your comfort zone gets stacked right on top of it. And so on, and so on, and so on. So avoiding those things doesn't actually make them go away. It doesn't make them become less. It doesn't make them become less uncomfortable. It doesn't, you know, mean that it's going to take less work to get them done. What it means is now you're going to have two things that you're going to have to worry about. So get them done. Another thing you need to make sure that you are doing is, I tell my team, at the end of the day, 15 minutes, block it out. Do not allow any meetings, anything to go towards that last 15 minutes of the day. Even last half hour, close out your day. Spend some time closing out your day. But spend 15 minutes doing a massive brain dump into a to-do list for tomorrow. Make sure that you are setting up tomorrow for success for a couple reasons. One, you can walk in the door and know exactly what you need to do. It is fresh on your brain at the end of the day. You know what you're working on. You know what has to get done. Put it in a to-do list. Tomorrow, you walk in, you get it going. The other reason why is because I want you to go home and leave work at work. Go home. Be with your family. Let your brain rest. If you've been working hard like most of the people listening to this thing, then I know it's difficult to get home and turn it off. But if you put everything down, then you'll be amazed at how much better your time will be managed the next day. All right, moving on. Today, we are talking to Peter Bregman, author of 18 Minutes, Find Your Focus, Master Distraction, and Get the Right Things Done, which, by the way, is the winner of the gold medal from the Axiom Business Book Awards. Also named Best Business Book of the Year on NPR, selected by Publishers Weekly and the New York Post as a top 10 business book of the year. He's also the author of Point B, A Short Guide to Leading a Big Change, and co-author of 5 other books. He's been featured on PBS, ABC, CNN, and he's a regular contributor to the Harvard Business Review, Fast Company, Forbes, NPR, Psychology Today, and CNN. My gosh, this guy's got to be tired. So somebody who does this much stuff has got to know what to do, how to find his focus. I can guarantee you that. He's also a weekly commenter on Fox Business News, and he speaks, writes, and consults about how to lead and how to live. Whew, that's a lot. So folks, please do me a favor and welcome Peter Bregman. Peter, thank you so much for doing this. We're talking about your new book, 18 Minutes, Find Your Focus, Master Distraction, and Get the Right Things Done. So let's just start out by, tell us about what the book is about.
Well, you know, I'll tell you why I wrote the book, which explains what it's about in a sense, is that I was trying to get a bunch of stuff done. I found myself busy all day. I looked at the end of the week, and I found myself I was busy all week, and yet I wasn't getting my most important stuff done, the things that I valued, writing my book, doing kind of thinking, strategic thinking about where I was bringing my business, stuff that was really important. I just wasn't getting done. It was always getting pushed to the back burner. And I read a bunch of books about time management in order to try to figure this out, and I found myself not getting out of the hole that I was in. And the reason is because, from what I discovered, all these books about time management all collude in the same myth of time management. And that myth is that you can get it all done. That if only you follow their process, if you, you know, file things in a certain way, work through the to-do list properly, you know, label things, that you will be able to get everything done. And I think, ultimately, in the world in which we live, that's a myth. That we're a limited resource, and you can't possibly get everything done. And once you admit that, once you see that, it's incredibly freeing because you realize I have to be strategic and intentional about what I'm going to do and, just as importantly, what I'm not going to do, what I'm going to ignore. You know, I keep 2 lists for myself now. One is a to-do list and one is an ignore list, a not-to-do list.
Love it.
Things that I really want to make sure I don't get sucked into because I know I don't have time to do everything. And so I wrote this book to almost give people a free pass, the same way I needed a free pass. Say, you know, you're not going to get it all done. And if you're not going to get it all done, then now we have to make some smart decisions about what we are going to do so that at the end of an incredibly busy day or week or year, you look back and you go, you know what, my most important things I got done.
Hmm. So you're saying there's not a cookie cutter way for everybody to get things done? That's crazy.
Not only that, I'm saying there's a I'm saying no one's going to be able to get it all done.
Heck no.
There's no way, unless you live a really boring life,
yeah,
you will not be able to get everything done that you want to get done. That's just the reality of our lives today.
Especially in today's society where we can do 17,000 things if we wanted to. We can choose.
Yeah. I mean, think about the last time you left your office and you looked at the watch and you go, wow, it's 4:30. God, I should probably stay till 5, but I really just don't have anything left to do.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I might as well just leave at 4:30.
Yeah, I can't think of a time.
Not the reality of our lives anymore.
It is not. You mentioned your friend Hillary Small and how it wasn't until she broke her foot that she slowed down and realized how sad it was that her needs weren't her priority.
Right.
Again, a lot of the folks that are listening to this are workaholics. They are busting it out. Just like you said, nobody's looking at their clock going, I wish I had more to do. Why is it so important for us to, as you say in the book, and you talk about your daughter as well, when she called out pause, why is it so important for us to pause?
The idea of pausing is just doesn't make any sense because, you know, why pause when there's so much to do and to do absolutely nothing? But what pausing does is it slows down that momentum, right? It gives you a sense of space where you could begin to ask questions that you would never have the time or the presence of mind to ask. It allows you to just sit quietly and realize that there is much more than what you're accomplishing, that you are much more than what you're accomplishing. And to decide that, to figure that out, counterintuitively gives you a much greater ability to accomplish things because you're able to align yourself more authentically with who you are and where you're great and how to channel that in a way that's going to help you to be happy and succeed, not just to succeed. You know, for all those of us who run our businesses, we start our businesses primarily because, you know, certainly we want to do something cool and good in the world and help, and we want to do something that really, like, fits us, right? I mean, there's a reason why we're running businesses instead of working for other people for the most part. And it's because, in part at least, we want some control. We want to, you know, create a life that is the life that we want to live. We want that kind of freedom. And yet so many leaders and entrepreneurs who are in a position in which they should be able to make those calls end up being the most frustrated people that I know because they're not actually, they're not reaping the benefits of the risk that they've taken. And so it takes some time to pause to get some perspective. If you're in the middle of a race, you can't think big picture about the race. You're just racing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you need to pause a little bit, and life has a way of making us pause if we don't pause. That's not a threat, by the way. It's just what I've seen happen, you know, like
right.
People I know who are incredibly busy, and then they break their legs and they can't move, and that's their chance to sit, and which is what happened with Hillary, and it's her chance to sit and think, you know, like, what's important to me, and what is this all about, and how am I devoting my life, and you know, is it moving in the right direction? And many times the answers will be yes, and keep doing what you're doing. But many times there's little things that you can tweak that could help you not just get things done, but get the right things done. I mean, that's the 18 minutes moniker, right? Find your focus, master distraction, and get the right things done. And the question is, are you getting the right things done? Well, that takes some time. The work that I do with CEOs and their leadership teams is one-on-one work. And I'll tell you, the most useful thing I do probably is the fact that I sit with a CEO outside of their normal day. You know, they take some time, and we sit and we think together about stuff. And that's time that CEOs often don't get, and that business leaders often don't get. Time to just sit and think a little bit. What's working? What's not working? How could you? You know, I sat down with someone yesterday who's the head of a business, and he's frustrated that there are a lot of negative people, that the culture is negative in his business, that he feels like they're not seeing the positive side of things. And I said, what's your response to that? And he goes, well, you know, it's hard, but I get angry at them. Right? And I said, look, I get that you get angry at them for being negative, but you're just feeding their negativity when you do that, right? When you get angry at someone who's negative, you're adding negativity to their negativity. You're just, it's a combustion, right? And that, let's think about ways that you can respond to their negativity that channel them to more positivity rather than fighting. Now, that's not something that, unless you pause, you get, because otherwise you're just reacting to what's in front of you. And if people are complaining to you and you're annoyed with it, your reaction is going to be annoyance, when in fact there's a much better response, right, which is that somewhere in that organization is a positive person. And the smartest thing you can do is resist the urge to give the negative people any attention and focus and channel all your attention on the person who's being positive. You know what? Eventually, everyone's going to see that, and they're going to start to move towards the positive person. Mm. So you have to actually ignore the people who are being negative.
Sure.
And pay attention to the people who are being positive. That's counterintuitive if you're in the moment and someone's really kind of frustrating you.
Absolutely.
It requires some pausing and some distance to be able to say, hey, look, here's the dynamic. How do I change that dynamic? And that's, you know, probably one of the greatest values that I provide in my work with CEOs and their leadership teams, is giving people the space and the perspective to think about what's working and what's not working and what we can change.
I like that. All right. So here's what I've got. I've got the ChrisLicurto.com readers. I asked them to send in some questions to you. So we're going to wrap this segment up with one of those. And then are you cool with sticking around and doing a interview for the ChrisLicurto.com readers as well?
Sure, I'd be happy to.
Fantastic. This one comes in from Jenna Botkin. And I love this because it kind of goes along with explaining the 18-minute plan. She says, my question for Peter is, how does a self-employed person with no employees figure out daily priorities? And then she puts, and in 18 minutes, are you serious?
That's great. So here's the plan. And obviously there's a lot more detail in 18 minutes, in the book 18 minutes. But the plan in general is you've got to decide what are the top five areas you want to focus on in a year. Right? What are the top five things? For me, it's do great work with my current clients, grow my business, speak and write about my ideas, develop a leadership school that I'm working on, and nurture myself and my family. Those are my five areas. I know them down cold because my to-do list is structured in those five areas. I have what I call a six-box to-do list. Each box gets one of those five areas, and then the sixth box is the other 5%. It's everything that doesn't fit in. When I first started keeping a to-do list like this, everything was in the other 5%. We tend to spend all of our time doing things that are not that important because if we fail in the things that are important, it becomes an identity issue. It's very scary to us. Mm. We'd rather not even confront that. So we spend our time buying running sneakers instead of trying to write a book proposal.
Wow.
And so I've got a to-do list. You can download that to-do list, by the way, at my website, peterbregman.com. There's a place to download it where it says free resources. But the truth is it's very simple to just create six boxes on a piece of paper. All my tasks, all my to-dos go into one of those six boxes. This way I know that the daily things that I'm doing are focused on the top areas I care most about. Then, this is the 18-minute plan, 5 minutes in the morning, I look at that six-box to-do list and I move things from the to-do list onto my calendar. A to-do list is not a good document to work off of. Your calendar is a great document to work off of because your calendar is limited in time and space and that you can only put what you can actually accomplish there. Mm-hmm. So you're much better off using your calendar to work off of than you are using your to-do list to work off of. So I spent 5 minutes and I moved the things that are most important to get done today from my to-do list onto my calendar and I shape out my day. Then 1 minute each hour. Every hour I have a watch that beeps, I stop for a minute, I take a deep breath, and I ask myself two questions. Am I doing what I most need to be doing right now, and am I being who I most want to be right now? Those two questions keep me focused when I inevitably get distracted as the day moves on. Finally, 5 minutes at the end of the day, when I look back and I say what worked, what didn't work, what do I want to do the same or differently tomorrow, and then anyone that I want to share feedback with, update, say thanks to, a way of wrapping up my day into a bow. And so I make sure that I'm learning each day, I make sure that I'm bringing those learnings into the next day, and I'm shaping what I'm doing so that I'm making strategic and intentional decisions up front, and I'm keeping myself sort of on target with those decisions so that I end up getting the right things done, and it's a great process for someone who's self-employed.
I love it. That is a lot of good information right there. Well, Peter, thank you for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. We're going to stick around and do the after interview for the ChrisLicurto.com readers. But before we do that, can you tell people how they can get more of you?
Sure. If you go to my website at Peter Bregman, PeterBregman.com, that's the best way to get in touch with me, and you can read all my stuff. I'm on the news once a week, and you could watch those, all that stuff.
We love it. Well, once again, thanks, Peter, for coming on and doing this for us.
My great pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Wow, there's a lot of good stuff in that interview right there. Becky, what'd you get out of that?
Well, I have to agree with what Dave said and what Peter said about, you know, it's a myth that you're going to be able to get everything done. You've really got to prioritize your day. And, you know, otherwise you're going to become a firefighter. And, you know, working with a guy like Mefford, I could be a firefighter all day long. So
you are a firefighter all day long.
Yeah. So I've got to tell my day what I'm doing and what is important and really go after those things because, you know, I might look good in a firefighter outfit, but that helmet is not good for my hair. So
it's not going to work on the hair, is it?
No.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. You, of all people in this building, you would definitely be a firefighter working with somebody like Mefford. So, I think one of the things that I loved is when he says, when you fail at something important, it becomes an identity issue. Oh my gosh. How many times? I mean, everybody experiences that.
Yeah.
Everybody experiences that. You don't realize that failure is okay. And I think it's because we've had so many bad leaders that we've worked for. You know, somebody who, you know, if you failed, they rip your head off. And so you have to understand that if that is your feeling, then that's something you've got to fix. You can't allow every little failure to be an identity issue. You aren't the sum of your failures, because most likely you succeed way more than you do fail. So I thought, wow, that was very important. The other thing I loved, if you do not calendar it, it won't get done. You're not going to do it. Put it on a calendar. I have got, gosh, I don't know. I've got like 6 calendars in Outlook. I mean, it's just, it's a ton of different calendars for different things. Different calendars for writing, different calendars for speaking events, all kinds of stuff. Why? Because what I know is if I don't get it down, if it's not written down, I am not going to remember it. So, folks, hope that helped you out in getting control of some of your time management. Now, coming up this Thursday at 9 a.m. Central, we will be hosting the Entree Leadership Live Chat. Come stop by for an hour to kick off your workday and learn from fellow Entree leaders. Did we mention that it's completely free? Just like this? Completely free? It is. This is free. ChrisLacurto.com, totally free. So go to DaveRamsey.com/EntreeLeadership next Thursday and join in on the discussion. Reminder, follow us on Twitter. Follow us at Entree Leadership, at ENTRE Leadership, or at Chris Locurto, LOCURTO. Email us your questions and comments at podcast@EntreeLeadership.com. And do not forget to head over to the business section of DaveRamsey.com and sign up for our monthly newsletter. It's free. And it helps. It is great information. If you want more teaching from Dave, go straight to EntreeLeadership.com. Check out the events there. I'll be hitting the road starting today, going to Indianapolis. For those of you that are coming to the Entree Leadership one-day event tomorrow in Indy, I will see you there. Make sure that you say hi. We've got Nashville, Phoenix, Houston. Entree Leadership one-day events coming up with Dave, myself, John Acuff. If you have not been to one, make sure that you get to this. If you have been to one in the past, we've adjusted these. These are going to be incredible events. If you want to hear all of the Entree Leadership lessons from Dave, attend our next Entree Leadership Master Series event October 14th through the 20th in Orlando, Florida at Disney's Swan and Dolphin Resort. At this event, Dave will not only teach you how to take your business to the next level, but he will also personally interact with you over the course of the week. Folks, that's what we do. We limit this to 200 people. I will teach a few lessons down there, but I will spend most of my time one-on-one coaching, ripping businesses apart, putting them back together. We spend our time with you. We bring our leadership down. It is an incredible, incredible event. So make sure that you get to that. If you want to, go to EntreeLeadership.com to find out more information, or call into our Entree Leadership team at 888-227-3223. So that puts another Entree Leadership podcast in the books. Once again, I need to thank the people who make this happen every single time. Chris Mefford, who is really bit too busy to be here being a part of this, so we'll call him the executive producer.
Right.
He's our
Ryan Seacrest.
He's our Ryan Seacrest. Our new producer, who has done a fabulous job, Becky Powell. Now I need to come up with funny names for Mefford. Instead, since we don't have, since we'll,
right.
we'll just title you the new producer.
How the table has turned.
Yes, it has. The king of, I don't know. Colin Fatke, our audio engineer, Peter Bregman, and of course, Dave Ramsey. Folks, take this information out. Change your life, change your leadership, change your business. That is our goal for you. We want you to use this to do something today that affects the way that you lead your team, hopefully in a positive way. Once again, thank you for making this the number one podcast on the planet in the area of leadership. You guys are who make this happen, so we appreciate that. Thank you so much for doing that. And folks, make sure that you join us on the next Entree Leadership Podcast.
Folks, right now is the best time in history to operate or start a small business. If you're ready to take your leadership to the next level or start your own company, then join me, Dave Ramsey, at Walt Disney World's Swan and Dolphin Resort on October 14th through the 20th for our Entree Leadership Master Series. At this event, I'll teach you everything you ever wanted to know about building and growing a profitable business. You'll also experience personal leadership coaching from our executive team. Folks, you won't find this stuff in some college business class. This is 20 years in the trenches of leading and actually running a business. It's based on my New York Times number one bestseller, Entree Leadership. So bring your spouse, bring your team, but you better hurry. These events are limited to only 200 people, and they always sell out early. Call the Entree Leadership team at 888-22-PEACE. That's 888-227-3223 or online at DaveRamsey.com.